Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which hath called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, well, y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things. But you don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. Got to obey the word of God. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another place building to get into. Just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Well, praise God. Thank you for joining us on another episode of Kingdom of God Ministries. We are so glad that you could join us. We have a pretty good hot topic tonight, the great catching away. Some of you may prefer rapture. And our question to you, are you ready? If you've been following some of the blogs, they have another prediction that they speculate that the rapture will occur on October 18th. However, we know no man knows the day or the hour. However, God has given us some signs and some pointers to let us know when, you know, in general, pointers, like a roadmap. If you follow the Bible, you have a roadmap showing you the different seasons that correlate with the return of Jesus Christ. Now, mind you, we didn't say the day or the hour, but God did say there will be some signs. There will be knowing the sign of the times by the various seasons. And that's what we're going to bring out tonight. Hopefully, after we finish the broadcast on tonight, this will shed some light onto you. If you have had some questions, or if you have questions, if you need prayer, feel free to give us a call. We can be reached on our guest call-in number. You may have a comment, but write this number down, 646-668-8633. And here at Kingdom of God Ministries, we don't want to be formal. We wanted to our teachings to be just like we're sitting right there in your front living room with you. So we don't want you to feel, well, this question may be silly or, you know, we want your feedback. We want your input. So feel free to join us. Again, our call-in number is 646-668-8633. And after we finish the broadcast, we always, you know, close it out in prayer. So if you have a prayer request that you need, be sure to type your prayer request in on the chat line, and we will definitely pray for your situation. Father God, we just want to thank you on tonight. We thank you for your many wonderful blessings. Lord God, we give you all the praise, all the glory. We worship you on tonight. Father God, we ask that our voice go out through the listening radio audience and that you will touch, heal, deliver, and set free. Lord God, we decrease so that you would increase. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come into this studio on tonight. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Lord, we ask that you lead us and we will follow. Whatever you want to do on tonight, Lord God, we will be obedient to you, Father. So, Father God, we thank you and we give you all the praise, all the glory. And in Jesus' holy name, amen. So, as I said, I will be presenting some of the Jewish holidays and how they correlate with the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we finish with these holy days, you're going to be kind of like, because it kind of blew me away. So I want to share it with you. And it's so sad that a lot of this in-depth information, you may not be getting it at your church. You know, and not saying that we're the only church or ministry out there that's putting it out there, but this is vital. This is some valuable information. So when we get through on shedding some light on these various holy days, which is Jewish, there's seven of them, I'm going to elaborate a little on each one, and we will show you how they correlate. The Bible, whoever said the Bible was written by men, you're deceived. Because like I said, the Bible gives you a roadmap of his beginning and of his end. I mean, he said the fool has said in his heart there is no God. So if you're saying in your heart that men just wrote the Bible, I don't see how they could have did it talking of prophecies that was to happen thousands of years in the future. Man can't do that. Man can't even determine his own lifespan. He don't know when he gonna die. So to try to say men wrote the Bible, you're deceived, my brother or my sister. Sorry to say that. So let's look at each of the seven Jewish holidays. And we're going to see the direct relationship that each of them have, like I said before, with the death, which is Passover, burial, unleavened bread, and the resurrection, day of the first fruits of our Lord Jesus Christ. We also will see a direct relationship to the day of Pentecost, which is the Feast of Weeks, as we noted in the book of Acts. Okay? Like I said, everything is correlated together, intertwined together. This is why the Lord put on our, it's even got the rapture tied up in these seven Jewish holidays. Come on, saints. You know, we got to, you know, Bible say my people perish for lack of knowledge. It's okay to go to church and worship, but if you're not getting the true meat of the word, you need some more meat. It's okay. Emotional is all right sometimes. But you need to know the Bible to its fullest, not just taking little parables, you know, and some of the preachers, God forbid, they'll take a little parable and get you all emotional, and that's it. But we here, we want to give you the in-depth word of God. Let's continue. So, let's remember when we start talking about the holidays, Jewish holidays, I'm going to be before you, and then Bishop, he'll come on. But our subject, again, is the great catching away. Some refer to it as rapture, but we like to refer to it as the great catching away. And we're going to bring out how rapture is really not in the Bible per se. So we're going to bring that out as well. Are you ready? That's our subject line. Are you ready? Will you be ready? When the trumpet blow, will you be ready? Amen? Okay. So remembering the deliverance, this is what the Passover was about. The purpose was remembering the deliverance from Egyptians in bondage, which was an unblemished, okay, firstborn male lamb. Now, I want you to check this out. Was to be sacrificed and its blood poured on the altar. Now, this was over with the Egyptians. A lamb was selected for each family back in Egypt. The Israelites, and 4 days before the lamb was to be slain, it was brought into the home for a four-day examination period. Now, check this out. The messianic significance, Jesus is the sacrificial lamb who died for our sins. You see how this correlates? On Nisan, N-I-S-A-N, on Nisan, 14th, at the exact time the lamb was to be slain, Jesus was slain. Jesus also had a four-day examination period before the religious leaders and was found without blemish. Hallelujah. I'm getting chills. Just the Holy Ghost. You know how that Bible just tie in with everything. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. So we know Passover or Nisan is usually around March 30th through April 7th, what people over here celebrate Resurrection Sunday. We don't celebrate Ashtar. We know that was a fallen god, idol god. So they call it Easter, but it's Ashtar, really. That's what it was. We celebrate Jesus. Amen. So let's go on. And then you have the unleavened bread. The purpose of the unleavened bread symbolized sin. Unleavened bread speaks of sanctification. God told the Jews to cleanse all leaven from their homes. So let's look at our temples today. Cleanse leaven out of your temple. Okay, he told them to cleanse it from their homes and eat only unleavened bread, matzah. For 7 days, symbolizing a holy walk with him. And if you know what matzah is, that's a thin little, it's like a little wafer with no kind of baking powder in it. It's flat. And this is what they ate because the messianic significance was Jesus is the bread of life, okay? Without sin, born in Bethlehem. And in Hebrew, Bethlehem means house of bread. Do you see how this is tying in? Just as matzah is stripped and pierced, so was the Messiah. The feast falls on the day Jesus was buried. Now, am I crazy? Or
That's the word. Historical evidence.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So the unleavened bread, okay, and then we're going to talk about the day of the first fruits. Now, if you notice, Passover, unleavened bread, and the day of first fruits all happen in sequence. okay? You have Passover. You know what Passover is. Then you have the unleavened bread, and then you have the day of first fruits, which is around March and April. But the purpose of the first of the barley harvest was bought as an offering to the priest in the tabernacle or the temple. The priest would present the first of the harvest unto the Lord by waving them back and forth. So they would wave them back and forth. This was how they presented this offering to the Lord. Hallelujah. And this is where we get raising and waving your hands. You know, they'll say, wave your hand. So it's an offering unto the Lord. This reminded the Hebrews that God gave them the land and the harvest belonged to him. So let's tie this in with the messianic significance. Jesus, we know, is the first fruits. And we can turn to that. Could you turn to that, Bishop? 1 Corinthians 15:20-23. And we'll read that. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 15:20-23. And I'm going to take a drink. Like I said, here, we're not formal. We want you to feel like we're right there in your living room. You need to get you a drink or something. Let me read. You can read it. Yeah, come over here. Come to the mic, if you don't mind.
But now is Christ.
Okay.
But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Amen.
But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming.
Amen. So you see, Jesus Christ, he was the first fruit. Amen. It shows Jesus was likened to a grain of wheat falling to the ground and dying to produce a great harvest. Jesus arose, remember this, on first fruits. This is deep, y'all. This is deep. This is your road map. The Bible is already written for you to have a guide to eternal life. And that the first fruits we know is between March and April, okay? And then you have the Feast of Weeks. The purpose of the 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits, two loaves of unleavened bread are presented to God. Also, a reminder that the Jews were slaves to Egypt, Deuteronomy 16:9-17. The giving of the Torah to Moses on Sinai took place on this day. 3,000 were killed on that day. Now, I want you to hear this. This is the Feast of Weeks, okay? The messianic significance, 50 days after Jesus arose, a group of messianic Jews received the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, unless I go, the Holy Spirit will not come. But when I go, first fruits, his resurrection, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. God wrote the law, Torah, on the hearts of the believers. 3,000 souls were saved on the day of Pentecost. Whereas when Moses in Deuteronomy, where he was in Sinai, 3,000 were killed that day. Why? Because they were disobedient to God. You see? Mm-hmm. Isn't that something?
Amen.
So, I'm just trying to break it down so you can understand. That was the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is usually 50 days after the second day of Passover. Amen? And then we have the Feast of Trumpets. The purpose of the Feast of Trumpets is the Jewish New Year. It begins on the High Holy Days in the Jewish month. Okay? This is corresponding to September or October. This is a celebration of spiritual birthday. That's why they were saying it's not likely Jesus was born in December. He could have been born right around this September-ish, like the harvest time. Okay? That's why we don't get caught up in December 25th, because if you go back, we know how paganism crept into that, and we'll be getting into that too. That day, the 25th, was not about Jesus. It was about Tammuz. But we'll get into that. Okay. I don't want to go on a bunny trail. But anyway, usually it's around September, October, a celebration of spiritual birthday of the world or creation. Okay? This means blowing of the trumpets, a coronation of the king. They were ushering in a king. Jesus was born. They blew the horn. Just like when he returned, he's going to send the angels. He's going to put one foot on the land, one on sea, and he's going to blow the trumpet, ushering the king. Amen? So this is what the Feast of Trumpets represent. Rosh Hashanah. Amen? Look, God is sounding the alarm. He's speaking through prophets, teachers, preachers. Now, we're not going to sit here and tell you that, how some say October 18th, that's when he's coming back. But it could very likely be around that time. We don't know the year, but it could be around the Feast of Trumpets. Think about this.
Amen.
Because it's going to usher, let the world know the king is coming. And they're going to blow that shofar. Amen? Hallelujah. Blowing of the trumpets and the coronation of the king. The messianic significance possibly depicts the rapture of the church, a regathering of believers at the sound of the trumpet. That is 1 Thessalonians, if you don't mind, Bishop, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18.
Okay. This reads, the Lord will come from heaven with a command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God.
Amen.
First, the dead who believe in Christ will come back to life. Then, together with them, we who are still alive will be taken in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And this way, we will always be with the Lord. So then, comfort each other with these words.
Okay, and then let's go to Revelation 19. The judgment of the wicked, or possibly is this day of the second coming. Jesus will be king of the earth. So you see how all this is tying in together. Amen. So that is Rosh Hashanah. Now, I know some of y'all ain't never heard of these words.
19
words. Well, that's okay. We'll go on. But let's go on. And then you have the Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur. And the purpose of this day, it was a holiest day in the Jewish year. They spent their time fasting and prayer, consecrating themselves. This is what Yom Kippur is about. And confession. This was one of the gracious day, a year given by God that each individual could receive forgiveness. The high priest entered the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the nation by sacrificing animals, including two goats. Now, what is the messianic significance of Yom Kippur? Christ, our Messiah, was displayed as our sacrifice. We can use this as a time of self-searching, repentance, and recommitment to God. Amen? The goats represent the Jews, amen, Gentiles, possibly points to the day of the Messiah's physically returning to earth, or it is possible this could be Judgment Day, okay? That's why he said, let the wheat and the tares grow together. He will do the separating.
Amen.
Amen. The harvest, he said, the harvest is ripe. Labors are few. We did some study about the rewards. Jesus said when he come, he will have his rewards in his hands. Now, this is really deep, and I want people to listen, because when he talked about the servant that he gave one talent, another one 10 talents, if God has called you into his fold, You have a responsibility. I don't care. Don't just look at pastors. But if God has called you, you have a responsibility to go out and tell others about Jesus.
Amen.
Because your reward is going to be based on that. He said, if you are ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. And this is what I see. I see a lot of times when Christians, they wear two hats, you know. At work, they act like the world. When they get at church, they act like the church. Look, you got to make a stand for holiness. You got to be righteous. Look, if you don't want to be around me because I'm a Christ follower, so be it. Be it my sister, my brother, my children, it doesn't matter. Because I'm going to stand for what's right. This is what it's talking about, soul searching. Work out your own salvation. Amen? Take inventory of yourself. This is what it was about. They would do some soul searching. They would do some repentance. You don't even hear the word repentance in church anymore. Not hardly. Everybody, and I have to go here because, you know, this program now with Oprah, what is it called? Greenleaf. And I tried to watch some of it, but it's just so perverted that everybody in the church, they either sleeping around, having sex, supposed to be pastors. Now, this is the gospel according to Oprah. Now, I want to say this to our Christian brothers and sisters. If you're watching that, see, this is why the ratings go up, because we supported what we watch. We need to make a stand and say enough of that. Everybody in the church ain't whoremongers. Everybody in the church ain't no liars or cheat, murderers. All this is in this sitcom. But she got it portrayed like everybody in the church, child molesters, womanizers. See, this is what the world look at us. And last week we talked on age of moral decay. But what I'm saying to you, if you are supporting it, you are boosting their ratings. The only way you can get them to change is if you stop watching it. But Christians are so desperate for entertainment that they let the world dictate to them what we need to watch. And we need to stop it. All you got to do, if you hit them in that pocketbook, they will stop putting trash out about Christians. Because it was really, really, and then it really grieved me. Yeah, people say, well, it's just TV. But do you see the subtlety in that? Do you see what she's actually saying about the church? They got New Age in it. They got yoga. They got homosexuals. Oprah is cunningly pushing her own agenda. Her own religion. And we are taking a hook, line, and sink. And this is how the beast is going to come in, by deceiving people. They're not looking at the signs. They're not looking at the seasons. And he said it would catch them unaware. Five wise, five foolish virgins. Amen? Are you looking at the signs? Are you looking at the season? Okay? And then we go to the last, which is the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot or Sukkot. That usually is around September 24th, September 30th. The purpose, God told the people they should live in booths, B-O-O-T-H-S, for 7 days so that the generations would know that his people lived in booths when he brought them out of Egypt. Each Sukkot, or the Jews, built and dwelt or eat in booths or temporary dwellings for 7 days, a joyful celebration. The messianic significance, Christ is our tabernacle, our dwelling place. John 14:14 may represent the 1,000-year reign that we're going to be with Christ. Many believe Jesus was born during this feast because he was born in the late fall. Did you hear what I said? Around September, September 30th. But you see how the devil perverted it? And then he took Christmas They say keep Christ in Christmas, but if you want to be technical, Jesus wasn't born in December. If you want to be technical. And we know now it's just really a commercialized holiday for merchants to get money, okay? Many believe Jesus was born during the feast because he was born in the late fall or in a booth, a manger, or this is possibly when the tabernacle dwell with God in heaven. So I wanted to bring the correlation out with the Jewish holy days and where we are today. So you know how to be looking at the seasons, how to be watching the signs of the time. Amen? But he said it wouldn't slip up on his people because you know why it won't catch us unaware? Because we're watching. We're watching. So we know around certain times when that trumpet is blown, we know that could be our catching away moment. But we're going to always be prepared because you never know. You never know when God's going to call you home. I mean, you could be driving, and I know Hollywood has sensationalized the rapture, you know. But what if Jesus called you home tonight? Will you be ready? You may be driving home from work, and God says, it's time for you to come on home and be with me. Will you be ready?
Amen.
Will you be ready while you're sitting there watching some of these programs that you know God would not be pleased with? Will you be ready? It's time for us saints to do some soul searching. We're in the month of October. This is the month where you want to start doing soul searching, repentance, getting your heart right before God. Push that plate aside if you need to fast and purge yourself before God. Because God, he do not delight in his children living any kind of way. And I know you say we're under grace and, you know, God redeemed us with his. Yes. But over there in one particular part of the Bible, Paul say don't use your liberty as an occasion to sin. My God, if you look at this program, Greenleaf, they got the Christians smoking and drinking and womanizing. It is blasphemy. It's a mockery of the church, saints. And I know I started watching, but the Holy Spirit convicted me. He said, no, don't watch it. So I had to cut it off. So at that, I wanted to bring that to you. And I hope that blessed you. We know that it was all the holy days or holidays, Jewish holidays, was just a foreshadow of the redemptive work of Christ. Amen? Not only did they play significant roles in Christ's earthly ministry, but they also symbolized the complete redemptive story of Christ, beginning with his death on the cross as the Passover lamb and ending with his second coming, after which he will tabernacle or dwell with his people forever. Aren't you looking forward to that? Dwelling with the Lord forever, being in his presence. Hallelujah. Amen. So with that, I will yield the floor over to Pastor Bishop, and he will come as the Lord lead him, and I hope I was a blessing to you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We want to thank God for what just was rendered in reference to the Hebrew feast and Passovers and holidays, because they all reference God. They all reference the coming of the Lord. They all reference the birth of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So our subject was the great catching away, and are you ready? And we want to thank God for everyone that's listening in and participating in our Facebook video, and we're going to go on in the Word. But it's amazing that the same questions that the disciples asked Jesus is some of the same questions that people are still asking today. And some people go to the point of pinpointing the great catching away, or pinpointing the rapture, or pinpointing when certain prophecies will come to pass. But we have to remember that there are certain things that we will not know completely. There are certain timetables that we cannot know the exact time. Now, we can know the general time frame, or maybe the year or years that this may happen. That has been given to us via the word. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ kind of, he expressed that a little bit. But we want to get into this a little bit here. I'm going to a familiar passage of scripture in Matthew 24. And the disciples asked a question in which many people still ask today. Say, when shall these things be? The disciples asked Jesus, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now, we have had several people give predictions of the end of the world, or when the Lord Jesus was coming back. And every one of them have been false. Another one has been put out of October this month even. But Jesus said, no man shall know the day or the hour. But he did say something. Now, there's one thing that he said that has not happened yet. And I want to bring that out. Because Jesus said this. In Matthew 24 and 21, Jesus said this. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. Now, Jesus said that in reference to the question that his disciples asked him. When shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now, although we have had many, many disastrous things that happened in the world, we've had wars, rumors of wars, World War I, World War II, we've had the Vietnam War, we've had Civil War, we've had wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, wars everywhere. But Jesus said, it shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world. To this time, nor shall ever be. So that's telling us right there that we're not even close to that time yet. And the reason I said that is the things that's been happening are the things that, as Paul and Peter said, as things are such common to man. Wars, rumors of wars, but it hasn't escalated to the time and the trouble that Jesus said. He said, so we have time to get ourselves ready and to secure ourselves in Christ Jesus, to get closer to the Lord, to accept Jesus Christ as Savior, to believe his word, to accept him as the Son of God, accept the fact that Jesus Christ lived, died, buried, and resurrected for our salvation, that we might have a right to eternal life. But we have to accept that, see. We have to be Christ followers. Notice I said Christ followers, believers in Jesus Christ. Not so much as a belief in a religion or a belief in a denomination, but a belief and a following of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right? The Son of the living God. That one who was the ultimate sacrifice for us. The only pure, sinless sacrifice for us. The only one that knew no sin. There was no sin in him at all. So that made him the perfect sacrifice
for us, being innocent, totally innocent, for our guilt. That's what it's all about. All this preaching, all this teaching, everything that God did in sending his son to be a sacrifice for us was for our salvation. Okay? All right. That's what it's about. That's the main thing. The main thing is in reference to our salvation and pointing to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in acknowledgement as he is the Son of God and that God did raise him from the dead. Evangelist Montgomery said, the first fruit, Jesus Christ. And then we have been called and adopted into the family of God by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jesus said there would be trouble that hasn't been since the beginning of the world, and neither up until this very point. That's what I'm saying, up until this very point. That's what Jesus said. But he said this, since we're talking about the great catching way, and are you ready? That's the point right there. It's not the great catching away, the rapture when the Lord's going to come back. But the question is, are you ready? Or will you be ready for that? Because, see, when he comes, there won't be time to get ready. Do you hear me? When he comes, when the clouds crack open and he come in the clouds with the saints, you can't get ready then. It's too late. You have to get ready to go through some stuff. You can repent then, but you won't be caught up in the first resurrection if you're not ready before that time happens. All right, okay. Somebody might disagree with that. Well, let me get into the word and clarify some things for you, because this is very important. Now, it's amazing that, and I say this so many times, it's amazing that it's so much going on for the souls of men and women. You have a bunch of people going around trying to tell people that the Bible is not real. They try to say that Jesus Christ is not real. They get hung up on names. Well, his name's not Jesus, it's Yeshua. It's this other name, it's that other name. But I'm going to say it like this here. In other countries, in foreign countries, in other countries, the name of Jesus might not be the same name that we call it. It might be something else. Why? Because it's a different country. It's a different language. So they might call Jesus something else in China. They might call him something else in Norway. They might call him something else in Thailand, but it still equates to Jesus. Matter of fact, the name Jesus is not Hebrew, it's mostly Greek. But Jesus knows who he is. God knows who Jesus is. So when we call on the name of Jesus, he responds. And you know what? Who else responds? Demons respond. They know that name. They know that name. And when you have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when you start calling on the name of Jesus, all these demonic spirits, they react to that. They respect that because they know that is authority and power in that name. All right. Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 So we're going to go into some other things. Are you ready, though? Great catching away. Search yourself. Think about this. If Jesus was to come tonight, would you be ready to go back with him? Now, I'm going to say this now. Evangelist Montgomery mentioned some things, and I'm going to bring it out again. You're catching away. Mm-hmm. You're catching away. You might not necessarily make it to the great catching away. Your catching away could be the time that the Lord God call you home. That might be the time that you close your eyes for the last time. That might be the time that something happens. You could be involved in an accident. The bullets are flying everywhere. A stray bullet might hit you. Anything could happen. Remember, you're not promised tomorrow. There's no guarantee that you will see tomorrow. So with that being said, are you ready now? That's the point. That's what all this is about. The word of God, what Jesus did, is about your relationship with God and will you receive eternal life with Jesus. That's the main point. But we're talking about the great catching away. So you want to be caught away. I want to be too. But right now, if I don't make it to that, whenever I close my eyes for the last time, I want to wake up in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in righteousness, in his righteousness. And that's what we're striving for. Jesus said, and except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, Jesus said, it's going to be so bad, there's going to be so much stuff going on, that if our Lord and Savior, God didn't shorten the time, he said, nobody would be left alive. He said, no flesh would be saved. Now, that's not just talking about spiritual. That's also talking about physical. In other words, people would be wiped off the face of the earth. And the Lord God is not going to allow that to happen because he keeps and protects his people. Saints, I want you to realize this. Satan does not have all the power. Satan cannot take you at will. Satan cannot destroy you at will. He can't do that. Why? Because we are under the protection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he seriously has to get permission from God before he can even touch us. So if he touches us, it's something that God is bringing us up to. It's to strengthen us more. It's never to hurt us. It's always to strengthen us and purge us all the more. I want to share that with you. Amen. It says, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall rise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders and so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. First he said, if the time wasn't shortened, there would be no flesh saved. Then he said that the deception was going to be so great that if it were possible, you hear that? If it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect, but it's not possible. Why is it not possible? Because the elect, the children of the Most High God, will cling to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and will cling to his word. And will not be deceived by false signs and false wonders, because the devil can do wonders. He can do signs. He can do false healings. He can do all of those things. And why is he doing that? To deceive people, to try to make people believe that they're following the true and living God when they're following the enemy. Now, we have to go this way, because this is a part of the great catching away. Because if you are not aware of the traps and the tricks of the enemy, you won't be caught away. You'll be just like what Jesus said. You'll be deceived and you won't be caught away. Now, the disciples asked Jesus a question, say, well, when is all this going to happen, Lord? That's part of it. But Jesus answered this question. He said, no man knows the hour. Of that day, no one knows the hour but the Father. Jesus said he didn't know.
But he didn't say the day.
The angels didn't know. But he said the Father knows. He's the only one who knows. He said, but of the day and hour knoweth no man. You hear that? The day and hour knoweth no man. Not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So you can't pinpoint it. So anybody that says, well, you know, the Lord is coming back on October the 18th, he's coming back on January 15th, he's coming back on December the 20th, well, he's coming back tomorrow. No, that you can just, and a lot of you disbelieve that, but some people, you know, they get a little worried when people say stuff like that. But you don't have to, because if no one knows the hour, no one knows the hour or the day. They may know a specific time frame within months or years. They're like, and God gives some instances of that when he talks about the Feast of Trumpets, and all the different Jewish holidays and things like that, which all point to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It points to his birth, his death, his resurrection, and his coming back to get us. It all refers to that. Those are various seasons. So he gives us a time season to relate to when he's coming back, to relate to the great catching away, to relate to the rapture. But as far as the day and the hour, he wouldn't give that. You know, and you know, it's amazing, because what some people would do, they would wait and they would tear their foot off, sinning, just acting like a moron until that very day and until that very hour, and then they would run up to Jesus and say, I repent. I'm sorry. But God knows your heart. So you, it's just like, you know, I mean, you're not real. You're not for real with it. You don't really love the God. You just know the Lord is coming back, and you know you need to be saved, and you don't want to go to hell. And some people have problems with believing in heaven and hell too. But that's all a deception, and that's the subject of another matter. That's the subject of another matter. But let me go with this. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now Jesus said that when he was still alive, walking the earth, teaching and preaching, he was explaining that to his disciples. So that was over 2,000 years ago. So that means we are that much closer to the time when our Lord and Savior comes back. And he left that type of word for us. Why? So we can continue to stay prepared and continue to stay in the will of God and to continue to keep ourselves holy and acceptable and righteous and consecrated to God, to Jesus Christ. Regardless of what so many people might say, regardless of all these different people in the world running around talking about Jesus is not real, saying that God and Christ and everything that's in reference to holiness is a myth, although we have all kind of history backing up the word of God, we have all kind of digs all over the world that they have dug up things in reference to the word of God. Think about it. They talk about, well, the flood didn't happen. Well, you know, if the flood didn't happen, how in the world did archaeologists find whale bones, shells, fish bones on top of mountains? What did they do? They flew up there or something? Is that what happened? But there was no flood. That's what some people believe. It was just in that small area. But they found whale bones, fish bones, seashells on top of mountains all over the world. But the Bible is not true? Huh? Think a minute. People think. Don't believe the lies. Don't look. Don't believe what the secularists tell you. Don't believe what atheists tell you. Don't believe what unbelievers say about the Word of God. They're unbelievers. They hate God. They don't like you either. So why are you going to believe what they say? These are the times that we're living in, though. So let's go a little further. Now, some people even, it's amazing. Some people don't even want to believe that the Lord Jesus is coming back for us. But he said he was. And it's several aspects of Scripture that brings this out. We have evidence in Old Testament. We have evidence in New Testament. We have the Word of God that spoke of Enoch and Elijah. Enoch has such a relationship with God that the Scripture tells us that he walked with God and God took him. So he didn't see death. Enoch did not see death. That was a form of a resurrection. He took him up. He caught him up and took him up where he was, where in heaven. Elijah was another one. The Lord Jesus, the God, sent a chariot, picked up Elijah, and he went to heaven whole, soul, and body. And he left his mantle to Elisha. So what was that? That was a type of resurrection. Was it not? Yes, it was. Those two individuals, they did not see death. Okay? Those two individuals, according to Scripture, now, according to Scripture, not according to my thoughts, according to Scripture, may be the two witnesses in Revelation. Because those two individuals did not see physical death. But as Scripture says, all men are appointed once to die and then the judgment. Even our Lord and Savior died a physical death. Mm-hmm. But he was risen. He was risen. So let's go a different way. Let's go a different way here. We're talking about the great catching away, the rapture. Thessalonians, brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who have died. We don't want you to grieve like other people who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and came back to life. We also believe that. Through Jesus, God will bring back those who have died. They will come back with Jesus. We are telling you that what the Lord taught this. We who are still alive when the Lord comes will not go into his kingdom ahead of those who have already died. That the Lord will come from heaven with a command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. Remember what Evangelist Montgomery said earlier? The coming of the king, the feast of trumpets, and everybody going to see the Lord then.
The crown of a trumpet.
Amen. Everybody will see the Lord. The first, the dead who believed in Christ will come back to life. Then together with them, we who are still alive will be taken in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. This way, we will always be with the Lord, so then comfort each other with these words. Now, that's one scripture in reference to the catching away. But the question is, will you be ready? Now, Paul said in another instance, 1 Corinthians 15:50-58, brothers and sisters, this is what I mean. Flesh and blood cannot inherit God's kingdom. What decays cannot inherit what doesn't decay. I'm telling you a mystery. Not all of us will die, but we will all be changed. It'll happen in an instant, in a split second, at the sound of the last trumpet. Hear that trumpet? Hear that trumpet?
Feast of trumpets again.
Feast of trumpets again. Excuse me. Indeed, that trumpet will sound, and then the dead will come back to life. They will be changed so that they can live forever. That's what it's about, eternal life. And the only one that can give eternal life is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So the scripture was saying that these it correlates, it ties together with the various Jewish holidays, the Feast of Trumpets, and you hear these trumpets being blown to acknowledge the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You don't want to miss that, because if you miss that, you're going to have to go through a horrible time. You're going to have to go through that tribulation time that Jesus spoke of, that I just mentioned, a tribulation, a time that hasn't been since the beginning of the world and will never, ever be like that again. You don't have to go through that if you accept Jesus Christ as Lord now and you be caught up in the first resurrection. We're going to get into that also. It said the body that decays must be changed into a body that cannot decay. We'll have new bodies, people. The mortal body must be changed into a body that will live forever. It says when this body decays, it changes into a body that cannot decay. So God is going to do a whole makeup of us. We won't be the same, people. We won't be the same. We're going to be like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what the word says. We're going to have a glorified body. We're going to have the same kind of body that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has now. All right? But that is a part of the great catching away. That is a part of what we call the rapture. Change in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, go from one life to another life instantaneously. That's something that only God can do, and the scripture tells us that people are going to see that. They won't have any excuses then. They can't say, well, I don't believe it now. They're seeing it with their own eyes. Millions and billions of people being changed in a moment, in an instant, probably a split second, that will happen. To millions and billions of people at the sound of the trumpet. It says, the mortal body is changed into a body that will live forever. Then the teaching of scripture will come true. Death is turned into victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? It says, sin gives death its sting. Sin does. And God's standards give sin its power. Thank God that he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, don't let anyone move you off the foundation of your faith. And that's what's happening right now. They are pushing. They are in society today. They are pushing or trying to push God out of everything. Every time you look at the television, it's sick. It's secular. When you look at television, they act like God is just a powerless something, sitting up on the throne playing tiddlywinks or something. You know, making a church out of just a club or something like that. It's a mockery. That's what the world is doing, saying, what are you believing for? Who do you have? Don't you know that the world will tell you that Jesus is not real? People in college professors and scientists and all these different people that are supposed to have a very high IQ will tell you that Jesus is not real. The Bible is not true. Man just wrote the Bible. Don't believe that lie. What does it say? Don't let anyone move you off the foundation of your faith, which is Jesus Christ. Always excel in the work you do for the Lord. You know that the hard work you do for the Lord is not pointless, it's not in vain. Now, I've given you a couple of examples of the great catching away or the rapture from the Word. Now, I pray that I know that many of you out there believe what I'm saying, but for those who don't believe that, don't let a evil spirit of unbelief come upon you that's going to keep you out of the kingdom of God, that's going to keep you from receiving the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's going to keep you from salvation, all right? Because the whole thing of life really is about where will you spend eternity. Yeah. You're talking about post, pre-trip. We're talking about all these different things like that. But let's go to Revelation 20, 4 through 7. John said he saw thrones, and those who sat on them were allowed to judge. Then I saw the souls of those whose heads had been cut off because of their testimony about Jesus and because of God's word. People of the Most High God, believers and unbelievers, this is serious. We are living in the end times. We are in a serious age right now. Only thing you got to do is just look around. What's happening on the news every night? What's happening with the weather? What's happening all over the world? Chaos. You have chaos, you have turmoil, you have things going on in the world that I have never seen in my life. And many of you have never seen it, but it's happening. You have false prophets, you have preachers teaching. I'm serious. You have preachers teaching that there's no heaven, there's no hell, and that you can basically live however you want to live because this is just a fairy tale. Now, who do you think they're getting that from? You're definitely not getting it from the Lord. They're getting it from the God of this world. And who is the God of this world? It's the devil. It's Satan. So what you're talking about, Pastor? Look at it. It's in Scripture. The devil stole it from Adam and Eve. But God is still in control. He's still in control, and things are going according to his plan and according to his prophecies. Now it says, the people who's under great persecution is the people who are not bending to the will of the devil. They had not worshipped the beast or a statue and were not branded on their foreheads or hands. And it's amazing because right now they are chipping people. They are putting small chips in people's hands about the size of a grain of rice. And that's just what the scripture said. Wow. The scripture said that they would put a mark in people's forehead or in their hands. And that's what they're doing. And you know what? People are receiving it willfully. They have no idea of what they're really doing. Don't you know that some of these chips can make changes to your mentality? They can go into all of that. But that's what they said. All right. That they lived and ruled with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not live until 1,000 years ended. This is the first time that people come back to life. That's the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who are included. The first time that people come back to life. That's the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them. They will continue to be priests of God and Christ. They will rule with him for 1,000 years. Now, that's the first resurrection. Of course, some people believe that it's going to be in the middle of the tribulation, 3 years. Some people believe it's going to be at the end of the tribulation. But the thing about it, when you talk about all of that, what is really important is whatever the time frame that our Lord and Savior breaks the clouds open and come back with his saints or come back through the clouds, we should be ready. Whether it's before all this stuff starts happening, in the middle of it, or at the end of it, we should be ready. We should be ready. We should be in right standing with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have our call-in guest phone number is 646-668-8633. We have 20 minutes left on the program. So if there are any questions or any thoughts that anyone would like to put forth, You can call in or you can text us on the Facebook page. If anyone is listening and looking at that, you can do that also. But we want to bring that out in reference to the Great Tribulation. There's going to be a whole, it's one thing that was brought out in the book of Revelation, and it's this, that John said that there were things that was going to happen in that Great Tribulation that the angel told him not to write down. So that basically means that the things that's going to happen when the Lord comes and gets his children, that there will be things that will happen that is not recorded in Scripture. And you say, well, how do you say that? Well, for one thing, when Jesus was resurrected, the Scripture tells us that he walked the earth and he taught and he preached for 40 days. Said over 500 people saw him and heard him speak. John said the things that our Lord and Savior spoke and the things that our Lord and Savior did was too much to be written down at the time. And that's the same thing that he said in Revelation. In the book of Revelation, John wrote all those different things down, but it was a certain part of the word. There were certain things that the angel said, don't write this. And this was in reference to the things that was going to happen during the time of the tribulation. You say, what? Yeah, that's what he said. That's what he said. But we have to remember that everything is not going to be revealed to us. Because why? Because this is a faith walk. If you know everything, then where is the faith? You know? If you know everything, where is the faith? You don't have to have faith to do something that you already know how to do. You know how to do it. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to have faith for it. You already know it. If you already know something, then that, you don't have to have faith for it. You already know it. But when you don't know everything, when you don't know when the Lord is coming back, the exact day and the exact hour, then you have to exercise your faith in the Word of God. You have to exercise your faith and your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have to exercise your faith in God because you don't know everything. And we can't know everything. As Paul said, we look through a glass dimly. Why? Because we are still in this physical body. We're not spirit beings yet. So we cannot comprehend everything of the spirit. A lot of times we have trouble comprehending what I'm saying right now, comprehending how God is going to come back and get all his people. It's hard for us to comprehend the rapture. It's hard for us to comprehend when he's coming back, how he's going to do it. But he is. And it's wonderful that he's doing these things. Because we can't. That he chose us. He loved us that much. That he has made a way for us to inherit eternal life. For us to live with him for eternity. For us to take on immortal bodies. For us to be spirit beings. For us to be like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can't be him. but we can be like him. And even as we live in this mortal life, we can keep him as our example of righteous living. Now, that's a wonderful thing. Because one day, we're going to hear that trumpet blast. And when we hear that trumpet blast, we will see our Lord and Savior in the clouds. And when we see him in the clouds, he's not just going to be up there to just show himself. He's coming to get us. And the wonderful thing about it, when he comes to get us, nothing, no one, there will be no power that can keep us on this earth, that can keep us from going back with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nothing. So I want to leave you with that. But as I said, the phone lines are open, 646-668-8633. And you can call, you can send us an email, you can contact us via Facebook. But at this particular point in time, we just want to bring that out to you and let you know that the time is drawing nigh. We need to draw nigh to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, when you see all these different things happening, he says, that time is right at the door. He says, as close as our front door. To let you know, it's very close. All right, people of the Most High God, we want to thank you all for listening on tonight. We thank God for every one of you that tuned in to the Facebook, that tuned in to our Blog Talk Radio program. And right now we're going to end the program. We want to pray for you. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we ask that you bless everyone that participated in the Blog Talk program tonight, that participated in the Facebook program on tonight. We ask that you bless them and keep them, Father God. We ask that you keep your hand of protection around them at all times. Father God, we ask that you keep their minds and keep the word deep within their hearts and their minds. And we come against any spirit that would hinder. We come against any spirit that would try to steal the word of God out of their hearts and their minds. We bind them up and we cast them out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus. We come against any sickness, any disease, any infirmity. We bind it up and we cast it out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We ask that you be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. Amen and amen.